We're going to look at one verse tonight, a simple verse. And while you're turning there, let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word, if you will. We're going to talk tonight about the lesson of the lot, not of Lot, as in Lot, as in Sodom and Gomorrah lot, but as the lot, as the casting of lots. And some people would say, well, you know, is there really that big of a lesson? I didn't think there was. When I was looking at it on Monday, I was thinking, Lord, it's in your hands again. And once again, it's like sometimes the Lord opens the Word of God. I open the Word of God and God's playing Stump the Dummy. And I get in the position where I go, beats me. What am I going to say? And the next thing you know, the Lord says, okay, now here's what I've been trying to say the whole time. You know, it's a good lesson for all of us. If you really want to learn the Word of God, just think about it. Just meditate on it and pray about it. You'd be shocked what God will show you in the Word of God. And I tell people, look, you have access to the Bible just like I do. And you could read it and you could study it and meditate on it and use it and try to apply it in every way. And I know the Lord would use it in your life as well. Proverbs 16, verse 33, very simple verse. The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, the first part of the phrase, the lot is cast into the lap, has to do with the location of the actual lot. The lot, in some cases, were sticks. In some cases, they were pebbles. In some cases, they were bones. In some cases, they were different elements that they would put together, but they were used specifically. And as a man would sit, and because of their long attire, as he would have somewhat of a gap in his robe or in his garment, he would cast them there and close it and shake it together, and they would use it. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. So when it says the lot is cast into the lap, I want you to understand really the procedure behind that. But some of you may have heard of things like that. Maybe even in witchcraft, it's taken to a different part of perhaps divination and casting bones and things like that. Well, there is a substantial use of it in the Word of God. But why does Solomon bring it out here to his son? I want to look at that tonight. Briefly and make an application, and then we'll ask the Lord to keep us in His grace while we go home. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You again for the Bible, and I'm thankful that every word of it, Lord, even this passage about the lot that's cast into the lap, is inspired. God, You put it there for a reason, and Lord, I pray tonight You'd help us to learn what that reason is. I pray that we would benefit from reading the Word of God together and studying the Word of God. May it never be that our church stops studying the Bible together. Lord, that we would line upon line and precept upon precept every week, hear a little, there a little, learn what we need to learn and listen to what we need to listen to as the Spirit speaks to our church. I pray that You'd help me tonight, Lord, please, to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain. Lord, I don't want people's pity. I would rather have God's grace. And I pray that You'd empower me, that You would use me. I want to be, Lord, as I yield myself to You, nothing but a mouthpiece. I'm asking You to actually just speak through me Your message tonight, that You would, Lord, help me to say those things that You want me to say, that You've ordained from this passage of Scripture, and Lord, in the same time, helping me to learn the valuable lesson. And then, Lord, I pray that You would set a watch at my lips and that You would, of course, hinder me from saying anything that would be an hindrance. Prevent me from saying those things that would cause a problem or stop the leading of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that You'll bless the Word of God in our hearts richly and that You'll prepare us for the remainder of the week. I thank You again for these that are here. I pray, Lord, now that You would help us to hear what You have to say to this church. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank You for standing. You may be seated. There are many people who really, really believe in luck. They really do. A lot of people, perhaps now after this message, you'll listen and you'll be at work and you'll hear somebody say, man, you are so lucky. Or someone would say that to you, or you perhaps, just because of not knowing what to say perhaps, would say, man, you're so lucky. Oprah Winfrey says that luck is a matter of preparation meeting opportunity. I don't think much about Oprah Winfrey. I doubt that she thinks very much of me either. But that's what she believes. Others try not to put too much weight on the matter. One man said, I am a great believer in luck, and I find the harder I work, the more I have it. And that's just their individual opinion, of course. While some people believe it, others scoff at it. Years ago on The Tonight Show, Johnny Carson read from a Midwestern newspaper Lost and Found column, and he read this ad, and I quote, lost dog, brown fur, some missing due to mange, blind in one eye, deaf, lame leg due to recent traffic accident, slightly arthritic, goes by the name of Lucky. I thought that was funny. Some may not know this individual. In 1899, a man by the name of Hoagie Carmichael, who eventually wrote some songs and was a composer and an actor, once decided to take up golf. And as he took the lessons in golf, as they were arranged by some of his friends for the instructor, Brother Greg, at the very first lesson, Hoagie was being shown the basics of the game, how to hold the club, how to address the ball, and how to stand, how to swing, etc. All those things that many of us struggle with on a daily basis when we're trying to play golf. Finally, after about a half an hour, the instructor felt that Hoagie was ready to drive a few toward the very first hole. And so he took a ball out and he teed it up, and Hoagie stepped up and addressed the ball like he was shown. He was gripping the club like he was shown, and he stepped up to it and swung and then watched the ball sail down the fairway, landed on the green, rolled right into the cup, a hole in one. Hoagie, the story is told, said his instructor was completely dumbfounded, and Hoagie took the club and flipped it to the caddy with a certain grin on his face and a spring in his step, and he said, "Okay, I think I've got the idea now." Can you imagine going out, taking one lesson, and driving it all the way down and landing it in the cup? You'd think, man, I need to go pro tonight. Our verse tonight speaks of that very defined doctrine, however, not of luck, but of the sovereign control of all things by our God. In essence, the Bible teaches that everything that happens is under the watchful eye of God, but not just under the watchful eye of God, but all things happen for a given purpose. All of us perhaps are familiar with the phrase, the verse, "All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." And that means that good things, that means bad things, that means right or wrong things, all things not only work together for good, but that God is in control of them all. And that is a very real Bible doctrine. And this verse may seem like it's not that big of a deal, but it has everything to do with that specific doctrine of the Word of God. And so I want us to look briefly tonight from our outline, and I want us to look at this lesson, really a sure lesson that Solomon passes on to our generation by way of Scripture. Now, again, if you forget the context of the authorship of the Holy Spirit using Solomon, you'll remember that this is the wisest man in the world, and he is a king preparing his son for the throne. And so as he is looking at his son, who no doubt is going to make some very difficult decisions in his life, he wants his son to remember, son, it's not about the lot, it's about God. So when you don't know what to do and you think that you may be deciding in some fashion that our forefathers used to decide, I want you to understand that though the lot is cast into the lap, the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, I want you to take your outlines, first of all, then I want you just to see quickly and briefly the purpose of the lot. The purpose of the lot. Now, when you look at Scripture, you come away with, okay, now, Lord, you've used this word lot, you've used it in the past, and certainly even into the future concerning the timeline here into the New Testament, you used it as of once. So what is the purpose of it? Notice in your notes there, it says, according to Bible usage, lots seem to have been used only when the decision was important, and notice, where wisdom or biblical injunctions did not give sufficient guidance. Now, let me just say that though the Levitical law was very, very specific in many matters, there are some things that were not addressed in the Old Testament law, just like some things are not addressed in the New Testament that we have in our Bible, but that people needed to decide on. Now, I don't know necessarily what those things could have been, but let's just understand that if the wisdom of God through His Scripture did not address it, then they were going to need to decide one way or the other how this should be settled. And the Bible says in many instances that they used the lot. Notice the reference in Proverbs 18:18. The lot causeth contentions to cease and parteth between the mighty. So even if there were two men mighty enough, whether it be by physical stature or financial prowess, to go at each other, whether it's legal at the court system or even at their own discretion, I want you to understand that the lot settled it. And it was a known thing that if we can't come to a decision, then we're going to let the lot be cast into the lap. And that lot is going to decide for us. And we have to trust that that lot is also under the control of God. Now, we may say, well, that's just dumb. Well, not if you're knowing who's in control of the lot. Not if you're using it as a tool. So it was used to exercise judgment. Now, let's just think of the examples then, letter B, in Scripture. The lot, according to Leviticus 16, verses 8 through 10, was used to select the scapegoat. Now, remember, the scapegoat in the tabernacle that we haven't studied yet, I should say as of yet, there were two goats that would be brought, and the lot was cast to find what goat was to be sacrificed unto the Lord and what goat would have the blood of the other goat sprinkled on that goat to be used as the scapegoat and let out of the city. And that was a picture, of course, of the atoning work of Jesus Christ as he takes the blood out and away. By the way, aren't you glad for forgiveness? Amen. And that's a great picture that we'll study, Lord willing, in the future. But the lot was used to select the scapegoat. It was used for the allocation of land. You'll remember that when the children of Israel were getting ready to go into the promised land, in the book of Numbers, chapter 26, verses 55 and 56, Moses said, listen, when you get over to the promised land, the lot is going to decide the allocation of property. So you'll find in the subsequent passage of Scripture, and the lot for landed, and the lot for this, and the lot for that. And that's how they divided up the land according to Scripture. The lot was used in the Old Testament to determine relocation of families that needed to be moved. Even the order of priests and their duties in 1 Chronicles. The determination of an offender. You'll remember that Achan, now it doesn't specifically say there, but many believe as this tribe was chosen and as this family was chosen and as Achan was chosen that the practice would have been by lot. Now that's very interesting because if the lot that's cast in the lap is determined by God, then God always casts a perfect lot because it fell right on the individual who had actually had sin in the cap. And of course, Achan was taken and destroyed with his family. It was also, by the way, we know that the Roman soldiers cast a lot when they were gambling, if you will, or casting lots for the Lord's garment on Calvary. You'll also know that it was, of course, the last time that it's mentioned in the Bible was used to cast a lot as to who would replace Judas Iscariot. So there are plenty of examples in Scripture to say, okay, look, this is just the practice. Now, again, there's nothing that I found anywhere that would suggest they know the exactness of it. They know that it was cast. They know at some portion what perhaps was used. But they don't know exactly because that practice has been gone and extinguished now for some time. But nevertheless, you understand it was used for the purpose of judgment. They wanted to exercise judgment. They couldn't come to their own. So they turned to the tool that God said to use. So we see the purpose of the lot. Secondly, let's look at the power of the lesson. Imagine if you were stuck in a head-to-head debate about a property line, or if you found yourself in a situation where the only deciding factor was going to be if the lot landed in your favor or not. Now, I want you to heed then very carefully the powerful lesson behind the lot. First of all, letter A, it helps us to understand that though men may believe it, that nothing happens by chance. There is no such thing as chance. There is no such thing as luck except the quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts, okay? That's the only luck that happens to work for many people. But there's no such things that happens for chance. In fact, I want you to remember this. Who wrote Proverbs? Who? Solomon. And he was the what man of the wisest man, okay, ever, according to Scripture. The wisest man who asked God for wisdom and was blessed because of that prayer request at one time had his faith, his walk with God, so weak that he actually wasn't very sure that there wasn't something called chance. And in fact, it's in your notes, I believe, in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. Watch, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Even the wisest man in the world came to some point of his backslidden life and said, you know, it's just up to chance. And so even though men may believe it, the fact is the Bible does not teach that there is any such thing as chance. Because as soon as you say there's something as chance, now you are inviting the opportunity to doubt that God is always looking at all things and using all things for His glory. You can't do that. That's not by faith. So, first of all, the first part of the lesson is that nothing comes by chance. That means that secondly, you guessed it, everything happens by the will and the counsel of God. Matthew Henry said it this way, what man has neither eye nor hand in, God is intimately concerned with. And I love that. And I'm going to give you several references as to why that is absolutely true. All right? The first one is in 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, listen, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, watch, by whom are all things, and we by Him. If I did not evolve by chance, then I would be foolish to believe that I should live by chance. I would be foolish to believe that things just happen to happen in my life. Brother Greg, do you mind if I tell a story about your wife praying? Okay, we're doing our SMBC Cares ministry, and I challenged our church at the beginning of this year to pray about people who we already know, who God could use us to reach them. We already have an established relationship, and one of the people that Linda decided to pray for was her neighbor across the street. She knew some people around her, but for whatever reason, God put this neighbor across the street on her heart, and she didn't know her very well, and so she started to pray, and she said, Lord, I know this is the individual that you want me to reach and to make my project for this year, and I want to get to know them better. Would you please help us to be able to find a time where, I don't know, where we could do lunch or something like that? She just finished praying. Knock on the door. Guess who it was? It's the neighbor across the street. Guess what she said? She said, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to you much. Do you think we could do lunch sometime? Now, if you believe in chance, I don't think so. Nothing happens by chance. You say, well, she prayed for it. I think it would happen if she wouldn't have prayed for it, to be honest with you. The fact of the matter is God is working all things. And he's observing all things. Listen to this verse. Psalm 147, verse 4. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with the clouds, who prepareth the rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. The Bible says, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But your very hairs of your head are all numbered. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? You see the lesson? The lesson is God is the one that brings the clouds over the mountains, that rains down, that waters the grass, that feed the mountain goats, that feed the beast, so that we can be fed of them. He's the one where if two sparrows are in a tree and one falls, God knows. He knows the hairs on your head. He names the stars. He named them all. He calls them all by name. If God monitors all that, then he's working all things together for his good. By the way, he created it all. He's the one that put it all into motion. Why wouldn't he care for his creature? By the way, that was a great comfort to me today. I don't know if it is to you, but it is to me that if God cares about a sparrow, if he cares to take the time to make sure that the grass grows, how could I not think that he cares for me? How could I not think that he would be understanding of me? And he is of you as well, by the way. So the lesson, of course, is that God does actually orchestrate all things. So I want you to see then, number three, the principle to learn. Now remember what the lot is. The lot was used to exercise judgment when they could not make a right judgment, or at least they didn't think that they could. And so what the law didn't address necessarily and counsel could not give them, they turned simply to use this tool by faith, and they believed that God would answer them. Praise the Lord that after the lot was cast for Matthias in the book of Acts, you never hear of the need for lots to be cast. Why is that? I personally believe for one main reason. The Holy Ghost had been granted to the church to empower, enable, and to guide the church. And because of that gift of promise, you don't need to guess anymore. God says, I've given you a comforter. I've given you the paraclete that walks right beside you, and he's going to guide you into all truth. Thy word, the Bible says, is truth. Thy word is then a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as I walk in the light, as he is in the light, I don't have any worries. God says, now, I don't want you to ever have to guess anymore. You don't have to leave it to the lot. You can just leave it to the Lord and trust and follow me. By the way, I'll give you another reason. Letter A, we have a more sure word than they had in the Old Testament. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rise in your hearts. Now you need to understand, the New Testament completes the picture. I'm so thankful that I'm a New Testament Christian, that I'm living on this side of grace. The New Testament completes the picture of the Old Testament. There's great typology, and of course we're looking at all of that in the book of Exodus, but the New Testament gives us a more sure word of prophecy. Why? Because in old times, prophets were spoken and used by God, and great signs and miracles, but the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, that in these last days, God has spoken to us by Christ. And the theme of Hebrews, as Brother Sam's pointed out, is that we have a much better way. The better testament was the New Testament in Jesus' blood. The New Testament that Jesus gave by these authors that he inspired and through the Gospels and all the epistles and even John the Revelator. I want you to understand, it gives us a more sure word than they had in the Old Testament. Yes, they had the pillar of cloud. Yes, they had the pillar of fire. Yes, they had miracles. Yes, water was divided. And yes, great things happened before their eyes, but they did not see the power of the Holy Spirit in a given life. They didn't see it. They didn't see it specifically in their life. That's why Jesus looked at the disciples and said, you're going to see greater things. Greater things than these are you going to see. He said to Thomas, look, blessed are ye because ye have seen, but blessed are they who believe and not see all that you've seen. And that's pretty amazing when you think about it. Now, so I want you to understand that we have a more sure word. We have a greater opportunity to be guided by grace than have to cast the lot. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's go to letter B. So I want you to see a more sure word. Secondly, it still involves the same requirement. Now, if you're saved, that is, if you've been born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Amen? Okay, I love that. Not only does the Holy Spirit live inside of you, you have the Holy Word of God. What a great tool. Man, to have to look back at a pillar or to have to look back at some stone column, Brother Mark, to remember the goodness of God, I don't have to do that. I just pick up the book. I start reading it. By the way, I hope you've been reading it. I really hope that you have. I text Brother Stephen tonight, Brother Cook, and he said, man, I'm so enjoying this 40 days of focus. I've never done it before. This has been really good for me. I hope it's been good for you. And if you're behind, who cares? Just keep going. Don't stop. The only way we lose is if we stop running. That's the facts. So the fact of the matter is we have the Holy Spirit of God and we have the Holy Word of God. So let's go back. The lot was used to make a judgment. When I don't know what to do, specifically spelled out in the Word of God, God says, now I want you to use a tool. Still wants you to use the Word of God. So what God apparently doesn't address physically or verbally, he always addresses principally. And then he says, now I want you to see it's the same requirement. Whether it's by the lot or whether it's by my word, what's the same requirement? Faith. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. You see, the fact of the matter is, what I need, regardless of whether I'm casting lots or reading the Word of God, is faith. And it's not faith in the lot. It's faith in the God who controls the lot. That's why it's so much greater that we have the New Testament, is because that is God's Word. So I don't have to wonder, hey, I'm reading that. I wonder if that's really what God meant. That's exactly what he meant. I don't have to wonder anymore. I have That sure word, that's greater than prophecy. It's living to me. I said to my wife, I said, you know what's so awesome? Again, I said this before. What's so awesome about the Word of God is though circumstances may change, because it's a living book, it means so much more on a given day. I lost my mom. So the part of this book that didn't necessarily, I don't want to say it didn't mean anything, but means so much more now, is because of the situation I'm in. I wonder if you're looking at it that way. I wonder if you're taking the Word of God that way. I don't know what you're going through, but guess what? God does, because He orders all things. And He's given you a tool called the Word of God so that you could trust Him, so that when you need to make a decision, all you have to do is say, God, what do you want me to do? And everything that He spells out in the Word of God, if you will do it by faith, He'll bless you for it. I mean, that's plain and simple. The fact of the matter is, He guides us, and what He doesn't spell out by specifics, He'll always give us principles like this. Whether you therefore eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, if that doesn't sum it all up, how about this? Abstain from the appearance of evil. How about when you don't know what to do, just prefer the other one. Just prefer someone else. Don't look on the things of yourself, but look on the things of others, rather. And God says, if that's fine, then your conscience will be clear, and I'll take care of the rest. Man, I'm so much happier that I don't have to cast lots in my lap. I'd much rather have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. I'd much rather have that element of Scripture, but I want you to see it's still the same requirement. It's all faith. Can you imagine this big decision that has to be made about a property line or some suit or some big problem, and you're going to settle it by casting some rocks? Now look, that doesn't work unless both people say, okay, whatever's decided, it's done. And when we walk away from here, we're going to walk away friends, understanding that God's in control. That's the only way it works. By the way, that's the only way it works in your home either. The only way the Word of God works in your home between a husband and a wife, your children, your coworker, the only way it works in your life is if you trust God and if the individual that you're working with does as well. And then even if they don't, God still makes reparation for you and says, hey, doesn't matter what they think or how they respond. What I'm looking at is you, Michael. I'm listening to how you respond. I'm taking notes and I'm reviewing what you're doing. And you go, okay, Lord. And when you have that kind of faith, God says, now I'm pleased. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I like this verse. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. Can you trust God with all things? It's one thing to say, I trust Him with my food. I trust Him when I'm healthy. I trust Him when the bills are paid. It's another thing to trust Him in the darkness. That's when it's great to have the Holy Spirit with you. All things in life happen for a reason. There is no such thing as luck. So don't make the mistake of saying, man, you're so lucky. Or I'm pretty lucky. Some people will say, you're so lucky, let's go to Vegas. Luck only exists for those without faith. They say certain things are supposed to herald good luck. Horseshoes, toadstools, piglets, four-leaf clovers, ladybirds, forget-me-nots, mistletoes at Christmas, a cobweb in the room. Yew trees, money spiders, a spring of heather, don't even know what that is, don't care. Two shooting stars in one night, so on, rabbit's foot. There are also proverbs such as, see a penny, pick it up, and all day long you'll... Oh yeah, there's somebody that believes that. I'm just joking. Something old, something new, something borrowed, something... Yeah, see, you guys all believe in luck. That's supposed to bring the bride luck. I don't know if that works or not. One reason some people don't... Now you understand why some people don't like potluck dinners, because they never know what they're going to get. One Greek writer said, boys often spit on a piece of money given to them for luck. Boxers spit on their hands for luck. Fishermen frequently spit on the first money they take for luck. Now, we don't spit on the money. Instead, we frame the first dollar. Seen that many times. Spitting was a charm, they say, against fascination among the ancient Greeks and Romans. Pliny says it averted witchcraft when you were to spit and availed in giving to an enemy a shrewder blow. He said, thrice on my breast I spit to guard me safe from fascinating charms. Those are obviously not true. The things that happen in life are governed by God for one reason, to increase your faith. That's the bottom line of it all. Can I trust in a sovereign God that He's directing my life? Though I may not like it, though I may not have chosen this path, can I trust that He's leading me? It's to increase our faith, to gain Him more glory, and that more people would be saved. Why don't you consider the story, perhaps many of you, how many have ever heard the song, God Leads Us Along? We've said that a couple of times, sang it a couple of times. The author and composer of the song was an obscure preacher and carpenter who spent a lifetime humbly serving God in a small rural area. Often the salary was meager and life was difficult for his family. Through it all, however, George Young and his wife never wavered in their loyalty to God and His service. The story is told that after much struggle and effort, the George Young family was finally able one day to move into their small but their own home, which they had built themselves. Their joy seemed absolutely complete. But then, while Brother Young was away holding meetings in another area, hoodlums who disliked Brother Young's message and the gospel set fire to his house, leaving nothing but a heap of ashes. It is thought that out of that tragic experience, Mr. Young completed his hymn, which reaffirms so well the words of Job, God, my maker, who gives songs in the night. The words of this hymn have since been a source of great comfort and encouragement to countless numbers of God's people as they experience the night times of their life. And I want you to hear the words that he wrote. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads His dear children along. Where the water's cool flow bathes the weary one's feet, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads His dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in the darkest of night, God leads His dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads His dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads His dear children along. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. Boy, what a faith. In a time when it could have all gone apart, he didn't have to cast the lot. He just lifted up his eyes. Let me ask you a question tonight. How is your faith? We don't need a lot because we have the Lord. We have much more than that. Are you allowing the Spirit of God and His Word to guide you, or are you just hoping for good luck? I hope this happens. You know, if you can hope, but if you don't have an object to put your hope on, it's really foolishness. You can hope all day long, but if you don't have it founded on the substantial Word of God, then I'm sorry, but your heart's going to stoop. You know, I would rather trust in a great God than have good luck any day. I can put my faith in the substantiality of a sovereign God, and I hope that you can as well. Let's stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I thank You that You are perfect in Your orchestration and that You are always holy, You are always just, You are always faithful. Lord, what else can I say but how great Thou art? Lord, in times of struggle and times of triumph, many times we have a more difficult time abounding than we do abasing, and yet, Lord, even when we are abased, we know that we can come before Your throne of grace, and we can ask, and then we can live by faith. I'm so thankful, Lord, for the Word of God that guides us, and when we need to make a right decision, we can use the tools that You've given to us, the Holy Spirit of God and the Word of God, to guide us. Lord, that settled heart is something that is assuring to those that are in doubt many times. And Lord, I just wonder tonight if there are others here that are being indecisive because they've not come to You. Lord, it's one thing to have faith. It's another thing to have our faith in the God of all heaven. Lord, that's the anchor of our soul. And I pray tonight we would anchor ourselves to that rock and we would shorten the line. We would get very close and we would exercise our faith in You, trusting in You for all things. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder tonight, I'm going to ask the piano to play, and I wonder tonight, nobody looking around, I wonder if it's time for you to put your faith in God. Maybe you'd say, Pastor, there's something that I need to give to the Lord. There's a decision that I need to make, and it needs to be the right one. I want to make the decision by faith. I want to trust the Lord with it. I want to do the right thing. Would you pray for me as I make that decision? Is there somebody here like that? Just slip up your hand. Anybody like that? All over. Wonder tonight if right where you are, you just take a minute or two. First, just be thankful that you don't have to cast a lot. You can look into the Word of God. But as you do, as God leads you down that way, will you trust Him for the right decision? Will you? Trust Him? Oh, I know, it's so hard. It requires the denying, really a dying. But it's worth it. It's worth it all. What do you cast to make your decision? I hope it's yourself before God, because that's how you please Him. Diligently seek Him by faith. Oh, what a simple lesson. A lesson we so quickly forget, do we not? A daily basis, after a few phone calls, after a day or two of work, oh, we forget so easily. Something happens or something doesn't happen as expected. Next thing you know, we're wondering, what are we going to do? Well, did you ever consider God's already done it? He's just waiting for you to respond by faith. We don't have to understand it, but we do need to accept it. Lord, I love You. Thank You for loving us always. Bless the decisions. Bless these that, Lord, tonight You said, I want You to pray for me. I need God's help.